There's only been one time in my life when I was scared of an animal predator. I was working at a summer camp back in my youth ministry days, camp up in the Catskills in the middle of nowhere, and I had to walk from one end of the camp to the other. It was late at night, and this path I had to walk was maybe a bit too close to the woods for comfort. And as I was walking, I heard this rustling in the thicket that lined the path that kind of was between the pathway and the woods. And I immediately regretted shining my flashlight into this thicket because staring back at me in the distance were several glowing sets of eyes. And I knew that coyotes were nearby, but I didn't know until that moment they came that close to camp. It is amazing what your mind will do when you think you're about to die. My brain went into overdrive, trying to calculate my chances of survival. If they charge, can I outrun these things? Can I make it back to my dormitory in time? My brain scrambled to access any files it might have stored away about what I'm supposed to do when I'm confronted by a pack of coyotes when I'm armed with a flashlight, how to stay alive, how to survive. And I think it's really important to mention at this juncture that I have zero wilderness training, and I have not an ounce of expertise in defending yourself against a pack of coyotes when you're armed with a flashlight. Now, obviously, since I'm standing here, the story turned out okay. It turns out they did not charge. They just watched very menacingly as I very quickly walked back to my dorm. And I made it safe and sound. But that experience shifted something for me because it took predatory animals that I have loved to admire in pictures and in zoos, and it added a real fear of them. You know, I go to the zoo with my nephews, and they're looking at these beautiful tigers, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I really hope that barrier works. Because I know how it feels, you know, when they're a little too close for comfort. And whenever I read this prophecy from Isaiah now, the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, this vision of lions and tigers and bears, oh my, lying with their prey peacefully in harmony together, I think, no way. There is no way this could be possible. As long as that lion remains a lion, as long as that coyote remains a coyote, there is no way I will ever feel safe. Even if God herself promises that that coyote is not going to attack. But if we sit with that vision for a moment, if we use a little bit of that Ignatian approach to scripture, putting ourselves in the story, just for a moment, imagine it. Imagine walking past a wolf lying peacefully next to a lamb. Picture a lion and an innocent calf, both next to you, neither being a threat. Try to imagine not feeling scared for yourself or for that lamb or that calf. And note that this vision for God's kingdom does not get rid of lions and tigers and bears, oh my. It changes them. In their beautifully created uniqueness, they are no longer predators, dangerous, threatening. Everyone's there, but the rough places have been made smooth. The valleys exalted, the mountains made low, the predator declawed and defanged. In this vision of God's kingdom, Isaiah tells us, they will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Well, we are so far from that kingdom, aren't we? This earth really is lacking in the knowledge of the Lord. Lacking in a rootedness in the God of sacrificial, selfless, unconditional love, abundant instead in selfishness, scarcity, and fear, overflowing with violence, mistrust, racism, anti-Semitism, sexism, depression, anxiety, illness, unemployment, grief. There is so much around and within us that is a far cry from God's reign of justice and peace. And that is why I love this season of Advent, where we live in hopeful expectation of the valleys being exalted and the mountains being made low and the uneven ground level and the rough places a plain, where the cries coming out from the wilderness are making straight in the desert a highway for God. Because the landscape hasn't quite changed yet. The voices are still crying out in the wilderness, begging us to prepare the way of the Lord. I am thrilled we get to read about John the Baptist today. He is a biblical character I don't think we get enough time with. And we don't get to dive into him deeply enough. I've always felt a kinship with John the Baptist. He's cranky, but focused. And just once, I would love to use the insult, "you brood of vipers." But the important thing about John is his role in preparing the way for Jesus. We need John the Baptist in Advent, the voice crying out from the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, the voice crying out from the wilderness of our own despair and grief and suffering. Because the one thing we can't miss in Advent is that the good news of Jesus Christ does not start in the promised land. It starts in the wilderness. That might sound awful. Wilderness is not something that is usually considered a happy place. It's wild and overgrown. It has the connotation of being a place untouched by humanity. It's a place where there is no clear way through. In the Bible, wilderness functions as a place where nothing else is. It's a place in between. Wilderness is a place of uncertainty and danger and fear, a place where lions and tigers and bears lie in wait, a place we must conquer lest it conquer us. But another biblical connotation of the wilderness is a place where prophets sometimes went to be purified. So then, wilderness is not only a place of fear, a place of exile, but it is also one of refuge, and even, perhaps, a holy place. The theologian Dolores Williams offers a helpful perspective on wilderness. In her book, Sisters in the Wilderness, she explores the white cultural impulse to civilize the wilderness. And she writes about wilderness from the perspective of the enslaved African. For them, she says, wilderness was a place where there was freedom. It was a place they could travel through to get to the north. She describes wilderness not as a place of fear, but a place ultimately of transformation. It was a place to escape the harshness of a cruel owner, a place you moved through to reach your freedom. In this perspective, wilderness can be a place to meet God, a place where a new road can be forged, a place where we find a better way forward. If we allow wilderness to be a place of despair, then any new landscape will look ugly and threatening. But if we allow wilderness to transform us, then perhaps we can live into the hope that one day we will not hurt or destroy each other, that the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. In this season of Advent, we are preparing ourselves for the beginning of the Jesus story, but if we look to the end of it, to the vision that Jesus laid out for us for what God's kingdom would be, a place where the lion can lie down with the lamb, where peace and unity and equality reign, where the most vulnerable are finally safe. How can we carve out a road for Jesus to walk through this wilderness so that God can transform it? We've got a few more weeks of this season of Advent and this season of preparation. We're eager for Christmas to come. But maybe this year, we can take our time in the wilderness. Maybe this year, we can let God inspire in us the possibility of the lion and the lamb, the coyote and the human, living peacefully together, changed in God's vision. Maybe this year, we can resist the temptation to leave the wilderness before we are done with our transformation. Amen.